This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Tuesday, May 19th. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. No fertilizer caps this year. Water contractors get a boost. More CDFA spending proposed. Dems want to keep three nations under the USMCA. AB 2447 by Assemblymember Rebecca Bauer-Kahan of Orinda was held in the Assembly Appropriations Committee, stalling a high-profile push to impose enforceable limits on nitrogen fertilizer use. The bill would have required regional water boards to update the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program and adopt revised orders by 2028 with quantitative limits on nitrogen fertilizer application and discharge. The State Water Board estimated the bill would cost around $130 million annually and require more than 500 new staff. Farm groups cheered the hold, with the California Cotton Ginners and Growers Association calling it, quote, a significant victory for the moment. NRDC has backed the bill as a way to set enforceable limits on nitrogen pollution from irrigated agriculture. California water managers have raised the state water project allocation to 45% of requested supplies, up from 30%. After April storms helped offset a volatile season marked by warm weather and early snowmelt. The Department of Water Resources says the spring runoff allowed the state to capture more water, meet environmental regulations without drawing down stored supplies, and add 400,000 acre feet to Lake Oroville storage. Oroville, the SWP's largest reservoir, is at 99% capacity. Statewide reservoirs are at 117% of average for this time of year. DWR cautioning the snowpack has largely disappeared, dropping to 12% of average after peaking in mid-February. California's reservoirs are full, but most snowpack melted off weeks ago, said DWR Director Carla Nemeth. We must use this stored water carefully because there's no backfill until next season. State Water Contractors General Manager Jennifer Pierre welcomed the increase, but argued the allocation still underscores limits in the system, noting contractors pay for 100% of the project but will receive less than half of contracted supplies. She said the year's erratic conditions strengthen the case for more flexible operations and the Delta Tunnel. DWR started the season with a 10% allocation in early December and then raised it to 30% in January. The Newsom administration is proposing a modest set of additional CDFA spending in the governor's revised budget plan while leaving several larger agricultural investments unchanged from the January budget. The new proposals include $204,000 in ongoing support for agricultural statistics and reporting intended to keep state statistical reporting functions intact as USDA's National Ag Statistics Service restructures at the federal level. The plan also includes $900,000 for repairs at CDFA's biocontrol facility, where work is conducted to reduce the impact of noxious invasive weeds and exotic pests. The administration is also holding steady on several January proposals. Those include $23 million for the Enteric Methane Investment Program, $25 million in ongoing support for farm-to-school advancement and climate-smart agriculture, and $25.9 million in Proposition 4 climate bond funding for the Healthy Soils Program. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. Join us at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Issues Summit West. How can California agriculture remain an economic powerhouse as rising costs, labor challenges, shifting demand, and political uncertainty reshape the industry? The answers matter more than ever. On June 2nd in Sacramento, hear from policymakers, innovators, and industry leaders tackling the biggest issues from trade and market outlooks to workforce challenges and the next generation of growers. Get the insights shaping what's next. See the latest information and register today at AgriPulse.com under the Events tab. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. House Ways and Means Committee Democrats are urging the administration to tone down the rhetoric heading into discussions with Canada and Mexico on the future of a North American trade deal. They argue that the deal's environmental, labor, and economic security provisions could be bolstered, but stress it should remain a trilateral agreement. U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement six-year review is slated for July. House Democrats wrote to U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer yesterday, highlighting areas where they think the deal could be strengthened. The letter writes, quote, "In particular, we urge you to negotiate provisions targeting offshoring and threats to economic security, adopt new environmental protections, secure new commitments to strengthen worker rights, and ensure fair and effective enforcement of commitments already made." But the group, led by the Trade Subcommittee's ranking member, Representative Linda Sanchez of California, called on the trade official to make clear to partners that the U.S. intends to keep the deal as a trilateral arrangement. "We urge you, moving forward, to forego the kind of combative rhetoric and coercive behavior that has defined the past year," they wrote. President Donald Trump has downplayed the deal's benefits and suggested he would prefer two bilateral deals. In recent months, Greer has suggested that the U.S. is interested in keeping the deal in one piece while accommodating more discussions on bilateral trade issues. European Parliament and Council will try to reconcile their separate proposals for ratifying the U.S. trade pact reached in Turnberry, Scotland last year, that according to a parliamentary agenda. EU lawmakers approved the tariff reductions and legislative changes, but added a sunset clause and additional safeguards to protect against significant rises in imports. They also set new criteria on when the deal would apply. The additions have sparked backlash from U.S. officials. In plain English, Brussels is trying to move the goalposts while the game is underway. That's the word of U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Andrew Pudzer. He wrote in a Politico EU op-ed yesterday. A U.S. deadline for higher tariffs is also looming. Trump has said he would raise tariffs on the block on July 4 unless it's implemented the deal and made the agreed-upon tariff cuts. An early look at the latest round of congressional redistricting still points to Democrats taking back control of the House next January. That's according to political prognosticators. Following recent court rulings, the most likely scenario is Republicans netting an additional 5 to 7 seats, the nonpartisan Cook Political Report said yesterday. "Given that scenario, we believe that Democrats are favored to win control of the House due to the poor national environment for the GOP, but they are no longer overwhelming favorites," Cook analyst Aaron Covey says. Kyle Condick, a manager, editor of Sabato Crystal Ball, a nonpartisan newsletter published by University of Virginia Center for Politics, gave a similar assessment late last week. "While Democrats are seen overcoming the redistricting challenges, the changes nevertheless give Republicans enough of an edge. They could, quote, save their House majority under the right circumstances," he said. Here's today's final word. We only use what the field requires. That Mayra Panagua in a California Strawberry Commission video celebrating Strawberry Month. Panagua described the organic practices on her Santa Maria farm and her bug vacuum to reduce pesticide applications. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Tuesday, May 19th. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Chuck Alley.